Well, good afternoon, Jada.
Hello, Mark.
And hello, Growth Group Leaders for 2025. Praise the Lord that we're back on the air.
Yep, first podcast.
And back up and going with our growth groups. Man, it's been a long time to wait. I hope you're excited about returning with your group. Are you, Jaden?
Yeah, I do look forward to it.
The men's group with Kieran, they're so excited that even when Kieran was away, Nate was calling them together last night, I heard.
Yep, it started early.
They're super keen. Isn't that brilliant? And I'm thrilled that not only are our existing six groups returning for another year, but we're adding a seventh, please God, with Pip and Zoe leading a women's group on a Wednesday night. Mm. That'll be brilliant.
Yeah, that'll be good.
And there's enough sort of newcomers around that I hope, and potential newcomers, you know, there's still another half a dozen people, and who knows if some of those might come, that we can continue filling out our groups and the empty chairs that we have.
Yeah, it's good to be thinking about those people and where they might slot in.
It is. I'm thrilled to be returning to Growth Group, and I've been missing our times. Now, we'll get into Psalm 77 shortly, but you're starting a new group, new year. You want to reform as a group. What are you going to do as a reforming activity, either for your group, Jaden, that's sort of continuing, or for a new group like Zoe's one?
Yeah. Well, I think it's good to have everyone have a chance to just share, you know, catch up with each other, reconnect and talk about what's been going on for a time.
Share something personal.
Something that's been on their mind lately or something like that. Especially, I think, where we're new members, it's good to have a chance to get to know each other.
Totally.
From a fresh start almost.
Yeah. And you can do that in a way that's not too confronting, like... tell us something that your family did over Christmas time, where it might be nothing, but it might be something. And that then gives a chance to talk about the family or, you know, oh, my family is actually two families and it's, you know, it's a bit awkward or whatever. Sharing something personal. But I think it's also worth sharing, particularly for newcomers, some expectations as to how these groups roll. That we love to get the Bible open, that we like to pray for each other, that we do hope to look out for one another and keep up with one another.
Yeah.
What are some of the ways that your group kind of has kept up with one another through the last year?
Through the last year? I think people talk to each other at church and hopefully through the week as well.
But if the Norrises were away, would anyone put in a phone call for them?
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. It's that sort of thing, the way we look out for each other a bit as well.
Yeah.
Okay, well, reforming our groups, hopefully that'll happen naturally, but it's worth, as a leader, prompting some of those things.
Yeah, so maybe talking about what we want the group to be.
Yeah, exactly. And as I mentioned at our Growth Group Leaders meeting, just for the first month or so, we're going to be doing some growth group studies after the sermon series, in arrears, as it were.
It's different, isn't it?
It is a bit different, and therefore the intention is to try and drive application a bit more to help us think about how these things work in life. And so that's what this study on Psalm 77 is going to be doing. You'll be preaching it this Sunday, but our growth groups won't start until next week, largely. So
a second chance to think about the passage and discuss it.
Yeah, and try and press it home a bit more.
Ourselves and each other.
That's right. So let's then come to Psalm 77, a great psalm. What is it that you like about this psalm, Jaden?
Well, about psalms in general, I think they speak to our experience in the Christian life, and this psalm, I think, speaks to a particular kind of experience, where there's deep distress and even questions about God. So a psalmist has big questions, and I think he finds what's helpful for him about God, and I think it can be helpful for us too.
Definitely. So we've got some opening questions here, which I hope are clear enough, but what are the kinds of situations that people face where they have turned to God for help? That'll take a moment to think about.
Yeah.
But we're talking not just about a sore toe, but we're talking about a chronic illness or you know, a health diagnosis that's negative, or a death in the family, a relationship bust-up, like some big things.
Yeah, it could be ongoing struggles.
Ongoing distress. And often it's in that sort of situation where people turn and say, God, help, help. Now, what might people do when they've been crying out but there seems to be no answer? What do you think?
is a couple of options. You can either continue or stop. You can continue crying out to God, which I think is an expression of faith, or you can stop for, could be a few reasons, could be that you don't think God is hearing you, or you don't think he cares, or you could start to think things like that.
Yeah, you might feel unworthy and think, well, yeah, how dare I approach God, and why should he help me? Or you could get bitter and think, well, he should help me and he hasn't, so he must be bad. Or you could think something else, you know, God is no longer a good God or something, yeah. So the wonderful thing is this psalm knows us, which is simply to say not just that we are like the Bible writers, but actually God knows us. Hebrews talks about Jesus knows our weaknesses. Well, this psalm speaks to our distress in life, and God knows what we're like.
It even understands that we ask these questions, and it's not a surprise to God.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so Psalm 77, it's a longish psalm, 20 odd verses, but gee, it's good. And how many sort of sections would you say there are here?
Depends how you break it up, but two big sections, I'd say. Yeah. There's verses 1 to 9, it's the distress, the crying out, the questions, and then verses 10 through 20 is what he turns to, it's remembering.
Yeah, good.
Clinging on to God.
So let's go, these questions don't do lots of text work, they do a bit. We're trying to sort of move from the text to practical life more, because we've already heard this preached, is my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So he asks questions about God 7 to 9. Do we have much detail about his situation of distress?
We don't know. He's in distress. It says that. And then
that's all it says.
He cries out to God. It does say when he thinks of God, he groans. Or when he remembers God, he groans. So that's part of it, I think. He's got distress. It doesn't go away. And he's questioning what God is like.
And he's thinking about God in the night, I think it says there, is that right?
Yep. Stretching out untiring hands, not being comforted.
So it feels like he's awake at night. Yeah. So this is gnawing at him.
Can't sleep.
Correct. How big are his questions in 7 to 9?
Yeah, big questions about God. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favour again? Is he really the God of grace, or has he stopped showing favour?
These not just questions about particular things from God. These are kind of the heart of God.
Yeah.
What's God like in his character, his heart?
His unfailing love, has it vanished?
Oh, man. This is asking big questions about God.
Yeah.
My distress means, well, is God really? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but I think that arises out of his experience. It's his deep distress that leads him to doubt these things. Great. And I think that's something.
So that is his personal experience, 1 to 9. What does he turn to in verses 10 to 18, 10 to 20?
He says, I'll remember the deeds of the Lord.
Yeah. So he turns to think, what's God been like in history? Yep. What's objective history like?
What can I really know about him?
Yeah. And what deeds in particular? Does he go to any specific deeds?
He starts off talking generally, but then from verse 16 through 20, he's talking about the Exodus.
Why do you say that?
So the waters saw God and arrived, and then he talks about Moses and Aaron down the bottom. So Moses and Aaron were leading the people, and there was a path through the sea.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's lots of clues here. This is about the Exodus.
Yeah.
So totally.
It's God redeeming his people, is what he says in verse 15.
Yeah.
His mighty arm redeemed his people.
And from verse 20, what is God really like according to his deeds in history?
It's a picture of a shepherd. You led your people like a flock, not just a farmer of today. I don't know what farmers do today, but it's leading them like a flock, like a farmer walking with his sheep.
Yeah.
Personal, close.
Mind you, there's something that's similar about Asaph's experience that was experienced also in the Exodus. In verse 19, it talks about his footprints not being seen.
Yes.
What about for Asaph? Does he feel like he's knows and sees God?
No, I don't think so. I think that's the parallel. I think that's why he goes to the Exodus, because they couldn't see God's footprints. They couldn't see that he was with them, though he was. But he feels like God's rejected him. Will the Lord reject forever? I think he's feeling that God isn't with him. So he goes to the Exodus and says, your footprints weren't seen there, but you were leading your people like a flock. And that's the comfort for him.
Okay, so let's just dig into that comfort, because... He wasn't seen, but he was a shepherd.
Mm.
He isn't seen in Asaph's distress. Yeah. But does that mean he's still a shepherd?
Well, it doesn't mean he's not.
It doesn't mean he's not a shepherd.
Yeah. So Asaph can't see him, but neither could the people back then of the Exodus. And he was leading them then.
Yeah.
Asaph can go, okay, I will believe that he's leading me now.
Yeah.
He's with me.
When you look in the rearview mirror, you can often see, oh, God was doing that. But often you can't see it in the moment.
Yeah.
And that seems to be Asaph's experience. I can't see what you're doing, God.
Mm.
And yet, objectively, in history, you were like this.
Yeah.
So now, does recognizing God as a shepherd take away his problems in the moment?
I don't think it would take away the underlying distress, the verse 2 distress that he was in to begin with. I do think it would help him, though.
How does it help? How does it help, especially with these questions of 7 to 9?
Yeah, 7 to 9. Like, will the Lord reject forever? That's what he's feeling, because he sees his experience, his distress, and that leads him to feel that way.
Yeah.
And he goes, this is what it seems like. Is that true of God?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. He's not the God who does that. It might have seemed like that for Israel back in the Exodus, but it wasn't true then. So it might seem like that for me now, but it's not true.
Yeah.
I think he talks about God's unfailing love. Like, he knows what kind of God he is.
Yeah.
And he asks, has that vanished? But when he thinks of the Exodus, I think
the answer is no. Mm. So what are we to do with our distress according to this psalm?
I think what Asaph does models for us what we can do. He cries out to God for help. That's what Asaph did. That's what Jesus did. That's what we can do.
Yeah.
Continuing.
He cries out and he remembers what God's like.
Yeah.
Those two things, I think.
Mm.
Both vital. Cry to God and remember, this is what he's like.
Yeah.
Rest in, trust in his character.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the shepherd, even when it might not look like he's with you. He is leading his people.
He's a good shepherd. Does that mean that God removes every problem from us?
No.
Why not?
He doesn't say why not.
Yeah, he doesn't say. Like, I think of Sarah, a wonderful woman struck down with long COVID. I think of Steve and Lisa, wonderful Christian parents. Their daughter Stephanie just keeps having trouble after trouble. There are Christian people, and then there are non-Christian people too. Mm. But there are people that we think, oh, they're godly, they should be. But their problems aren't taken from them.
Mm.
But does that mean that God's not a shepherd? No.
No, it didn't mean it back then. It doesn't mean it now.
What's the thing not to do then? When we face unrelieved problems, and I think that's a pretty common experience, unrelieved distress, what's the thing not to do according to this psalm?
I think to walk away from God.
Yeah, don't give up on him.
No, yeah. You can ask these questions. Asaph asks these questions, but then he doesn't answer them as, yes, he's rejected forever. He asks his questions and then
don't give up on God. And the other thing is, don't read God off your circumstances. As if good circumstances, good God, bad circumstances, bad God.
Mm.
No. We've got something much more secure, even than Asaph, actually.
Yep.
What's God like?
Mm.
Oh, he's the shepherd who redeems his people.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that then. We know that even more now.
Yeah, thinking because of Jesus.
Oh, the one who gave himself for our sins.
Yeah.
The one who leads his people like a flock.
Yeah. Yeah, because that is what Asaph appeals to, God's redemption, verse 15. He redeemed his people. He thought of the Exodus. We can think of the Exodus too, but there's Jesus too, who walked through all of the verse 1 to 9 stuff.
Mm.
It was true of him, which means it's not true of us.
Yeah. So, and we're likely to face situations of unrelieved distress.
Mm.
I think that's a pretty common human experience, and it's a common Christian experience. Crying to our God who knows us, trusting in our shepherd who leads us.
Yeah.
Like, here's where this psalm really helps us.
Mm.
Okay, well, there's a great... Let me say a short prayer for us as we get underway. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our growth groups. And we thank you for this opportunity to start a new year, fresh again. And please, we pray with new members as well. Strengthen our groups, Lord. Strengthen our life together. Strengthen our love for each other. And please grow us in the knowledge and love of our Saviour Jesus, our Good Shepherd. And I pray, please use this time in Psalm 77 for our help, our great help, especially for the times where we face unrelieved distress. Please, God, give grace to your servants, Jaden and Pip and Zoe and Stephen and Kieran and Gary and Nate. And please, Lord, I pray, use us as your servants for good this year. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A couple of quick things as we just wrap this up, Jaden. The growth group reports will keep coming your way from Fluro. So I hope that's straightforward to... There probably will be a change coming up in the next month, but just for now, that'll be the same.
Yep.
And the second thing to say is the week after this, we'll be looking at a four-week series of Why We Love Jesus, life, renewal, hope, redeeming love, those sort of four things, and we'll be thinking about how they work in life as well. So we'll come to that series next week.
Mm, wow, I look forward to that.
Indeed. All right, thanks everyone for your work, and we'll talk again.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.